Amen. Now we have Brother Fulton, who's with us from Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. You're very familiar with it. We've supported Rock of Ages men for quite a while. You're more familiar with Brother Mike Kelly, but you're also familiar with Brother Tim Martin. He comes by way of Brother Tim Martin. We ain't seen him in a while. Tell him he's got to get down here now. But I know that he stays busy and all what he does. But Brother Fulton was a missionary to Ireland, a place that holds a place in my heart. My sister was one of those that traces genealogies. She went back to Ireland. She traced our people back to Ireland. As far as I know, she ain't found nothing good, so that's why I never did pursue it. Brother Fulton, proud to have you with us. Appreciate your service in Ireland for 17 years.
Thank you,
share
brother.
What God's got on your heart with us. Okay?
Amen. I would be
right,
more than happy to.
Amen.
Thank God.
God bless you.
This is the electrocution device.
Yes, sir.
Goes off after 30 minutes, I understand. Well, what a joy it is to be here today. I've heard a lot about you already, never been here. And I was blown away when I came out of the Sunday school room into this auditorium. This is a beautiful, beautiful.
God's been good to us.
Beautiful. Has this been remodeled lately? Or?
No, it's brand new, dude.
What was that?
Brand new. 5 years? How long have you been here?
I was going to say, this is absolutely gorgeous. So I thank God. You know, the amazing thing about Jesus Christ is that He lives in every believer.
Yes.
And that's why when a stranger comes, like me, I can come into your midst here.
That's right.
And you got the same Jesus in you I've got in me. And so we can just have fellowship. Amen.
Yes.
Fellowship. We're fellows in the same ship. And it just feels real good to my soul to be able to be among the brethren and the sistren. But it's a great delight to be here today and not just to be here, but to be able to get to preach. This is really, really, I really appreciate it very, very, very much. And it's a wonderful day that we live in. Hard times in America. My heart breaks for our country.
Yes.
But yet, I believe that these are signs of the last days.
Yes.
And I hate to see it come, but I don't hate to see Jesus come. I'm just looking for that any moment. And what a joy it is.
Yes.
Our sister enjoyed that song she sang. And she was talking about Pastor Murphy being here 18 years. Right?
18. I'm not the pastor.
You're not the pastor?
No, I'm just a caretaker.
He's a sister.
I was the assistant pastor.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, you've still been here 18 years, right?
That's it.
Amen.
I'm grateful.
And she said before she sang there how time flies, and I understand that much, much better than I did before when I was a young man. It does fly. And I think Brother Murphy, I figured out why it happens that way. We have 24-hour days, but on any given day, I forget about 2 or 3 hours of what's happened in any given day. So I'm working on 21-hour days, right? Not 24-hour days, so that makes the time go a lot faster that way. So that's the way I feel about it. My mind's made up, and I'm just going to stay with that one.
Amen.
But if you would take your Bible today.
Yes, sir.
I would like to say, though, that we've been down here for the last 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Jackson CI, or Jackson Prison. And that's in Malone, right? Malone, Florida. And I'm happy to report that in those 3 days of meetings, we actually got to go inside the prison.
Yeah. Oh,
you're looking at me a strange. That we haven't seen that.
No.
We just have not seen that. I've been in a few meetings in other states where we got to preach through the fence. The guys would come out the fence, or the ladies, or whatever it was, and we preached them through the fence. But these meetings, we actually got to go inside. And not only that, we got to go inside the lockdown area.
Thank God.
Where the bad boys hang out. And we got to talk to them eyeball to eyeball right there in their cells. So that was wonderful. And had one young man give his heart to Jesus. Got gloriously saved. And that's a great and wonderful, wonderful thing. Be involved in that, I just can't believe. You know, God has allowed me the privilege of being able to go into prison. It's a joy to my soul. It really, really is. I was an inmate for 25 years. Don't look at me that way now. How many of you are saved, folk? Let me see. Put your hand up if you're saved. All right. You're an inmate too. God only saves inmates.
That's true.
You look at Proverbs 5:22. I wasn't in a brick and mortar prison.
Yeah.
But I was in a prison I made for myself with my own sins. The Bible says I'm holden. I was held in by the cords of my own sins until the Lord came by.
That's right.
And then what a day that was.
Yes,
but what a joy it is to be able to work. Brother Martin, he is a character, let me tell you what. And I fit right in with him. But anyway, it's a great day. We had a great time. 3 days of meetings. And it's just super duper. All right. All minds clear.
Amen.
Anybody have a question about the message so far?
Doing good.
Okay. All right. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to the book of Isaiah, back in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Isaiah, let's look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And let's begin reading the first three verses here, and then we'll have prayer. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Yes.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. Why? That he might be glorified. Thank you, Father, for this text of Scripture. Pray that you'll bless it to our hearing. Lord, I want to be a help to your people today. And I feel a camaraderie here. We all share in the same fate. We're all going to be in glory one day if we're saved, seated around the throne of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here today. We'll thank you for all you do. Bless those who have been in the service and served our country. Thank you for them. And Lord, we know that some gave it all. All gave some, but some gave it all. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless the families of our servicemen and our service people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, this is, if you notice in chapter 61 here of the book of Isaiah. This is a personal. Am I on okay here? All hear me? I like to wander around a little bit when I preach. We okay?
I hear you.
Yeah. You'll notice that this is a personal testimony. This is a man speaking to us in the Bible.
Right.
But if you think this is Isaiah speaking to us today in the Bible, you would be incorrect. It is not Isaiah. Isaiah wrote it down for our benefit. But Isaiah is not the speaker. He's not the one that's saying the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. No. This is Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it is.
This is his personal testimony. And he said this, Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now that caught my attention, because I was brought up, I got saved at the age of 25, and I found out that Jesus Christ is Almighty God.
Yes.
He's not just a man, he's Almighty God.
Right.
And so my mind, when I first read through this passage, I'm thinking, you know, well, what in the world is Jesus doing? Getting all excited about having, as it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
Yes.
Well, if anybody on earth could have done the Christian ministry by itself, It was Jesus.
That's right. Sure could.
I mean, what is he doing relying on the Spirit of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost in order to do his ministry?
Yes.
That's kind of a shock to my soul.
Oh, yeah.
But then I realized that although he could have done it on his own, he, by his own choice, set aside his power, his abilities, and his abilities to rely on someone else.
Right. Yes.
Well, by doing it that way, he has become my role model.
Yeah.
Because God has decided that we, the incapable, must lean on the capable in order to do the ministry.
Amen.
Hey, I got to say this, church. The Christian life is not a natural life.
No.
It's a natural life.
That's it.
You cannot do Christian ministry, which is supernatural in nature, by natural means.
That's it, brother. It's good.
I don't know if you heard that or not.
Oh, yeah.
Very
true.
There was a spirit-filled Chinaman came over to America for a couple weeks to observe what was going on in our churches. And after spending 2 weeks here, he went back to China, and his friends were all asking, well, what, you know, what's going on in the churches of America? And he said, what is it that surprised you most about the churches in America? And his answer was, he said that in America, I'm surprised at all the things they can do in their churches without God.
That's it.
Anybody can come together in an assembly and have a service.
Yeah.
You don't have to. It's not rocket science.
No.
Unsaved people can come together like this.
That's it.
In a church and have a service. But you can't have a God-given service.
No.
You can't have a Spirit-filled service with natural means. You can't do it, church.
Amen. That's right.
And so Jesus said, hey, you know, I've got all power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, Jesus said. But he laid all of that aside during his ministry and was completely dependent on the Spirit of God and his Father for the ministry that he was called to do.
Yes, he did. Yes, sir. Good.
Here's the ministry. Why was he Spirit-filled? Why was the anointing of God upon him? Well, it says here in 61:1, to preach good tidings unto the meek.
Hallelujah.
When I was 25 years old, I'm going to tell you what, I needed some good news. because I understood. I was so deep under conviction, I couldn't stand it. I was that way for about 3 months. People kept witnessing to me, and things kept happening in my life. I came home one day, and I told Mama, I said, "Honey, I'm going to stop cussing. I'm going to stop taking God's name in vain." And I did. I tried real hard. And you know, that didn't help either. So a little later, I came home. I said, "Honey, I'm throwing the fags away. I'm quitting smoking. I ain't going to smoke no more." And I did. And it was made it easier because I got sick. And I don't know if you've ever smoked, but sometimes if you get a bad cold or something like that, it made cigarettes taste awful, terrible. And that helped me quit. I quit smoking. And after I finished quit smoking, I still felt guilty, undone. I felt like the off scour of the earth. None of that worked.
Nope.
And so I want you to see something. I needed some good news, and I found it on the 29th day of March, 1970. Woohoo! I got saved that day.
Yes.
At Grace Bible Baptist Church in Flint, Michigan. Don't hold that against me.
Amen.
Don't hold that against me. Even Yankees can get saved.
That's right.
And so, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Jesus said. He hath anointed me, the Spirit of God has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. If you'll notice a pattern there, I'm going to just touch on this quickly. You notice a pattern in there. Here's the way it works. It even works this way today. It worked back then. It still works today. First of all, an anointed preacher gets up and preaches. Then, if you notice here, after the preaching, Jesus did something. It says in the first triplet here in 61:1, he says he preached, and then it says he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
First comes the preaching, then comes the binding of the broken, the loosing, if you will, of the brokenhearted.
Amen.
Anybody ever here have a broken heart before you got saved?
Oh yeah,
horrible. Yeah. First the preaching, and then the binding up.
Yes.
First, the declaring in 61:1, and then the opening of the prison.
Yeah.
There's no opening of the prison till after the preaching. And between the preaching and the opening of the prison, there's one real important thing that we get involved in, and that is we have to say yes to the preaching.
Amen.
First comes the preaching. Then we say yes to the preaching, and then we get the result, the opening up. We get the benefit, but not until we believe. Amen.
Thank God.
Amen. Three times in 61:1, verse 1, that pattern is produced. First is preaching, then it's declaring. Preaching is declaring, isn't it? Same thing. Verse 2, proclaiming. And every time the preaching goes out, something good happens after that.
Yeah.
But you got to believe first.
That's it.
Amen. And then notice something here in verse 3. He said, I lost my message. And verse 3 it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them, there are three exchanges.
Yeah.
In verse number 3. I love a good exchange, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Brother Tim Martin, he's always talking about the good deal he got somewhere. Amen. I'm telling you. Ooh, I got this and that for a little bit of nothing. Three exchanges. Quickly, look at verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes.
Yes.
That's what happened when I got saved.
Amen.
That's what happened when you got saved. You gave God your ashes, he gave you back beauty.
Amen. Thank God.
We always get the best end of the deal.
Amen.
Every time.
Yes.
Look at verse 3. the oil of joy for mourning. You give God your mourning. Lord, I'm undone. I'm a wicked, wicked person. Lord, I can't do anything right. Everything I do in your sight is sinful. I give you my mourning, Lord. He gives us back what?
That's right.
The oil of joy. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Man, what a horrible day that was. I went to church that, it was Easter Sunday morning, 29th day of March, 1970. I got up out of bed. I had one suit, corduroy suit, with plaid pants.
Me too.
Yeah. I was so skinny back then. You won't believe this, but I was so skinny back then. My pajamas only had one stripe in them. I had to jump around in the shower to get wet. I put on that suit and was trying to tie a tie. And my wife came in the room. My wife got saved 9 months before I did. And she was working at the church as a paid nursery worker.
Wow.
$2 an hour. They paid her. They gave her a little white hat, bonnet, put on her head, and a little white apron. Most of the people who went to church there thought she was a nurse. She tried to get me to go. I didn't want anything to do with it. Well, I fought that thing for 9 months, Brother Murphy.
Yes.
I said, this is it. I'm going to church. Yes. I'm going to go to church on Easter Sunday morning, and I'm going to get saved. I could have been saved a long time ago. I didn't know I could have gotten saved. I could have gotten saved in my bathroom.
There you go.
But I had to go to that church that day. I got up, man. We went to church. And I'm not going to take a lot of time, but got gloriously, gloriously saved. My wife, if you were to talk to her today, she'd say, you know what happened that day? I walked into church with one husband and walked out with a different one.
Amen.
Amen. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does best.
Amen.
Man, if you're the same old one you were before you got saved, after you get saved, you need to take another visit to Calvary. Amen. Because He delights in making people change.
Yes.
And the change is when He moves in, something got to change.
That's right.
Right? I remember my mother-in-law. We moved her down to Georgia from Michigan. And when that U-Haul trailer backed into our driveway, I knew she wasn't coming for the weekend. Right? Right? She was coming to stay. And she brought everything she had with her when she moved in. And when she moved in, I'm going to guarantee you things change in the Fulton household. Right? And when Jesus moved in, He didn't come to visit. He came to stay. Amen. Matter of fact, the day you got saved, you didn't even know it. The day you got saved, the Holy Ghost of God baptized Jesus right into you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
And He baptized you right into the body of Christ. Now you're in the body and He's in you. And if you look up the word baptize in the lexicon, you'll find out it means to be plunged into.
Yes.
That's what it means.
Amen.
It never says anything about coming out again. Amen. Once He's in, He's in. And once you are in, you are in. You ain't going nowhere forever and ever and ever.
Thank God.
Woo! That's enough to make me shout. Woo! I'm glad for that day. What a day it was.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Where in the world were we? Let's go over to New Testament.
Yes.
Luke chapter 4. I don't see a clock on the wall. Praise God. I'm going to preach till I get hungry. Don't worry. If you leave, I'll turn the lights off. Lock the door.
Yes.
Luke chapter 4, look at verse number 1. Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. Notice this. And Jesus, church, being full of the Holy Ghost. That sounds a little bit, hold on here, time out. That sounds a little bit like Isaiah 61, verse 1. Jesus, hold on, folks. Jesus, the infinite, matchless, eternal God of the universe in a human body, is full of the Holy Ghost. He laid aside all of that God stuff to live like a human being on planet Earth with all of the temptations, all of the sorrows, everything we experience, he experienced in his body. And in order to live that Christian life that he did it all by the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. He being full, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, verse 1 of Luke chapter 4. Returned from Jordan, was led by the what?
Spirit.
By the what?
Spirit.
By the what?
Spirit.
Capital S.
Spirit.
Holy Spirit of God. Into the wilderness. You ever feel like you've been there? Yeah, I've been there myself. Look at verse 14. You know what happened in between? Between verse 1 and verse 14, he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. But look at verse 14. When he went in, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 14. And when Jesus returned, in the power of the Spirit. Look up here. I got something to say to you.
That's it.
Same way Jesus went in, it's the same way he went out.
That's right.
After being 40 days tempted by the devil himself, he came out the same way he went in.
Yeah, that's good.
That makes good.
And I don't care who your adversary is, if you're full of the Holy Ghost of God, it doesn't matter what temptation you go through, doesn't matter what sorrow you go through, you can come out the same way you went in.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Look at verse 16. Came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he had a few habits. And his habit was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day.
There you go.
You don't have to do something real long to develop a habit.
That's true.
Of doing. And if you have not made this a habit in your life, to customarily go into the house of God on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, let me ask you to pick up not a bad habit, a good habit.
Yes, that's right. Good.
When he went in there, since he was a rabbi, they gave him the scroll to read. I want you to understand that this was no accident what happened.
No.
But they gave him that big scroll of the book of Isaiah.
Yes.
And when he read, Scripture says in verse 17, and when he had opened the book, which was a big scroll, with no chapter markings and no verse markings like we have, the Bible says this specifically. Look at it in verse 17. And he found the place where it was written. He was looking for one particular passage of Scripture. And you'll never believe what passage it was. Why, in verse 18, we don't have to wonder. He tells us what he read.
Yes.
And the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. And he read out Isaiah 61:1 in that passage.
Yes. Amen.
And then he closed the book in verse 20.
Yes.
And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He was a remarkable man. Everywhere he went, people flocked around him. He was always in the midst of somebody. That's where he belongs, by the way, in the midst of your life. Look at verse number 20. He closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down, the eyes of all them. Then look at verse 21. He began to say unto them, this day, church, look at it, in your Bible, verse 21.
Yeah.
This day, or this period of time in the world's history, this day, is this scripture, the one he just read,
right,
it's fulfilled in your ears. Isaiah 61 was Jesus personally testifying, and this is his proving that Isaiah 61,
yes,
that passage, was talking about him.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's go over here to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now why did Jesus need the anointing? Well, it was because of this. Look at chapter 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, you and the King James Bible is always plural. He's talking to the whole group. The Son can do what?
Yeah.
Somebody help me. The Son can do.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, the creator of everything, who spoke, and things came into being from nothing.
Right.
Says here, I can do nothing. I can't do one single thing but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he, the Father, doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, very simply, what he's saying is, the Father told him to do something. Jesus said, yes, Father, Abba, Father.
Right.
And then, while he set out to do that, he put his dependence on the Father,
yes,
to do that through his body.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about here.
Amen.
So whatever thing got done in the ministry of Jesus was done by him and the Father or the Holy Spirit of God, either one.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty
good. Got that?
Yes, sir.
We don't do it that way.
No, you're right.
Most of the time, we don't do it that way.
No.
What we do is we hear what the Father says we should do, and then we just go ahead and do it. Without respect to him whatsoever. We don't include him in the process very often at all. That's why that Chinese man, spirit-filled man, he knew in his heart that you can't do anything without God enabling you to do it. But what he was seeing in the churches was a whole bunch of people doing what God wanted them to do without the benefit of God's power.
That's right. That's good.
And this is a huge problem.
Sure is.
I'm going to go on record and tell you this from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and forward, that there are rewards given out at the judgment seat of Christ.
True.
Our works are going to be judged. Here's what I say. Not what size they were, but what sort they were. What do you mean by that? The sort of work that was done. Now, there are two sorts. There are those things I did by myself for God. And then there are those things that I did with God for God. With the help of Jesus.
Amen.
With Jesus actually doing the work through my surrendered body. That's a different sort of work.
Yeah.
And I've got to admit this, the first 30 years of my ministry, there was way too much work that I did for God without God's help.
Makes a difference.
You know what sort of work that is? That's wood, hay, and stubble.
That's true.
And what happens when the fire of God sweeps over that wood, hay, and stubble? By the time that fire is gone, there's nothing left but a pile of ashes.
Yes.
Before the living God.
Amen.
But those things that you have done in reliance upon the living God.
Amen.
Where you said, Lord, this is so big, I cannot do it. And you cried out to God for help while you were doing it. Guess what? That's gold, silver, precious stone. That's a work of a different sort. And that's going to last for all of eternity. The fire does nothing but purify and magnify that type of work.
Yes.
And that work is what results in the 5 or 7 different types of crowns that we can get. But guess what? Whatever number of crowns you get, I get, we're not going to keep them. You know what we're going to do with them?
Yes.
We're going to put them at the feet of Jesus.
That's right. Thank God.
We're going to put them at Jesus' feet.
Amen.
You know why? You ever think about why? I thought about why one time. I don't like to think too long because I get a headache.
I hear you.
But I had a thought about that. We're the body of Christ, aren't we?
Yeah.
Crowns aren't made for the body. Where are you going to put it? On your wrist? Crowns made for the what?
The head.
The head. He's the head.
That's it.
Amen. We're going to cast out. And so the crown that we gain by a different type of work,
right,
namely work where we co-labored with God, those crowns go back to Him because He's the one that actually did the work.
Yes, He is. Amen. Good.
Turn over to John 20. This is the 4th iteration of the Great Commission in the New Testament. And look, beginning in verse number 21, we'll zero in on it. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. You ever studying when Jesus said peace be unto you or peace to you? It's almost always because He was in their presence.
Yeah. That's it.
That's when I have great peace, is when I know I am in the presence of the living God. We can live in peace all the time because He's always in us.
Right.
Even through the storm, we can have peace.
Yes, Lord.
Then He said, verse 21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Just like my Father sent me into the world, Almighty God in a human body, but I laid aside all of that God power and ability to put my trust in Him.
Yes.
While I was laboring. In the very same way the Father sent me, even so send I you. In the very same way. That's why it says four times in our Bible, the just shall live by
faith.
The just shall live by faith. Faith is dependence upon God. Faith doesn't say, okay, I'm going to do all these wonderful things for God because I love Him so much. I'm just going to do this and that and that. That's not faith. Faith is where you depend on God to do the work through you for Him.
Amen.
Are you getting any of this, church?
Good.
This doesn't square with our natural mind.
No.
It was a beautiful day in my life. The first time I lost my mind. Don't look at me that way. I knew you said, I knew there was something wrong. I can't. Listen, I lost my mind. I found the mind of Jesus. I took by faith the mind of Jesus and said, Lord, I need a better mind than I've got, so I think I'll take yours. After all, didn't you tell me in Philippians 2, 6, let this mind, 2:5, let this mind be in you. That means allow this mind. So God was wanting to give it to me, for I was willing to accept it. Amen. But then one day I said, look, I can't do the Christian ministry with a natural mind. I've got to have a supernatural mind. And guess whose mind that was?
Yes.
Jesus.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 3:9. Don't turn there. 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are laborers. Help me. What? Together. With Him. As far as God is concerned, if it's not with Him, it's not labor.
That's it. That's it.
The living God did not put His Son resurrected from the dead in you just to watch.
No.
He put Jesus in you to take over.
That's right. Amen.
Are you getting this, church? Our churches are full of fleshly worship, fleshly work, fleshly means, fleshly strength.
That's it.
And God's going to have none of it.
No, sir.
Watch. Verse 21. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. Just like the Father sent me to be useless unless I have the Spirit of God anointing my work, I'm sending you out the same way.
That's it. Right.
Look over at John chapter 3. Hold your place here in John 21. John chapter 3. Verse number 31. No. Let's start in 33 for sake of time. He that hath received His testimony hath set to His seal that God is true. Need an amen right there.
Yes, sir.
God is what?
True.
True. Thank you. Verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus do that?
Yes.
Was He sent by the Father?
Amen.
And did He speak the words of God?
Amen.
Last part of the verse. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Was Jesus Christ filled with the Holy Ghost? That's what the Bible says in Luke 4:1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, went into the wilderness, was led. Verse 14 says he came out the same way he went in. Was Jesus filled with the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
And the evidence of that was that he didn't do the work, the Holy Ghost of God did the work.
Amen.
In another place, Jesus said this. They accused him of being Beelzebub. Remember that?
Sure.
Said all this stuff he's doing, he does by the power of the devil. No, he said, what he did say was that the things I do by the finger of God.
Wow.
Now, the finger of God is an idiom of speech that means the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The finger of God is the Holy Spirit of God. He said, what I do, I cast out demons. I raise the dead. Did you know I can't find Brother Murphy, my Irish friend, I can't find anywhere in the New Testament where Jesus, anybody died in the presence of Jesus.
Truth.
I can't find in the New Testament where anybody stayed dead in the presence of Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Every funeral he went to, he just blew the thing out of he raised up the dead. There's nothing left to have a funeral for.
Yes, it did. Hallelujah.
That's Jesus.
That's it.
But everything he did by the power of the Holy Ghost and by the power of his Father.
Yes.
The triune God was involved in everything Jesus did.
It was.
I ask you a question. From John 20, verse number 21, did not Jesus say, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you? Yes. Are you not a sent one?
Yes.
Are you saved? Put your hand up. Okay. If you're saved, are you a sent one? Put your hand up.
Yes. Amen.
How come I didn't see as many hands on question two as I did on question one? Listen, if you're saved, you've got the same calling on you that Jesus had on him. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you.
Wow.
Are you saved?
Yes.
Are you a sent one?
Yes.
Put your hand up if you're a sent one.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. You may not be doing much with it, but as far as God's concerned, he saved you to be a sent one.
Amen.
And if you are a sent one,
amen,
you are totally, totally made fit.
That's it. Yes.
For the ministry of God. Because as soon as you become a sent one, that means you've got all of the Holy Spirit of God on you for the ministry.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You, the natural man, with a supernatural God within you, are capable of doing a supernatural work.
Yes.
Because all you must do is surrender to him to do it through you.
That's it. There you go, Rich. That's the key.
You getting this?
Oh, yes.
Go back to John 20 and look at verse 22, and we're just about finished here. And when, John 20, 22, and when he, that's Jesus, had said this, and what did he say? As my Father has sent me, even so send I you.
Yes.
When he had said this, watch it in your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at me, look at your Bible. He breathed on them. He breathed on them.
Yes.
Boy, when God breathed back in Genesis chapter 2 into the nostrils of a clay mold that was totally inanimate, I'm speaking of Adam,
yes,
who was made out of the dust of the ground.
See.
Something wonderful happened. He became animated.
Yes.
He began to live.
Right.
And you, sir, and you, ma'am, have not lived a day in your life until God breathes into your nostrils the breath of life.
Yes, amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
I'm thinking if God would have said to Adam before that breath moved in, Adam, pick up those pruning shears. You're in the garden, I want you to go do some pruning. I wonder what Adam would have done.
Yeah.
But after he breathed into his nostrils, what the Bible says in Genesis 2:7 is the breath of life.
Yeah.
Then Adam became a living soul. You have not lived until God breathes that second breath into your spirit. What was the significance of this? Of this breathing thing? Well, I could do the same thing to you. I could breathe on you or into you, and all you'd say is, Brother Fulton, get a breath mint. But it wasn't a man doing that. It was the God-man. And when Jesus breathed into those disciples that day, the Bible says it was so that they would receive, look at it, the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Holy smokes and little catfishes. Did you know that catfish are in short supply in America today? There's a shortage of catfish in America. My wife is blown out of the water. She loves to go to Baby Jane's all-you-can-eat buffet on Friday night because they've got whole catfish. Whole. I said whole. Not fillets. Whole catfish. She's bumped out of her mind, man. She can't find them anymore.
Wow.
This is America.
Yes.
God breathed into those disciples. There, by the way, if you're saying, well, look, I don't know what you're trying to say, preacher, but if you're trying to tell me I've got to get in God's ministry some way and be involved in witnessing and giving out tracts and things like that, that's okay for you, and I'm glad you do it, but it's just not me. I'm not able to do that. Guess what, honey? You just done got the ability.
That's it. Yes, sir.
I'll take a lap around with you on
that.
At the altar on that. Thank you.
Amen.
If I was a younger man, I'd take one around the auditorium. But this is about the best I can do. Listen, Brother Fulton doesn't have to worry about whether he's able to do what God's called him to do anymore, because the Bible says when he put the Spirit of God in me, that is my enabling to do the work.
Amen. Yes.
That's either good news to you today or bad news.
Yes.
It's either good news or bad news. Because the good news is you can completely be involved and be a victor in all the work you do by depending on the Spirit of God to do it through you.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about whether you're going to fail or not.
Yes, sir.
But the bad news is
If you're relying on some excuse not to get involved in the work of God because I'm this and I can't talk and I'm not smart and I'm not a Bible scholar, I can't do this, I'm an angry man, guess what? You just lost all the excuses.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
As far as I'm concerned, brother, it's a win-win.
It is. Thank God.
I'm so glad Rich Fulton doesn't have to go inside those doors of that prison. Give that door slammed shut behind him.
Yeah.
And go face some of those guys where there's not a square inch on their body in a tattoo. I've seen some of those guys.
Yes.
Man, their biceps are bigger than my thighs. Some of them look like they're Goliath, 6'9", whatever. 6 cubits high. Big as they are, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 50 feet high. What do you want?
Yeah, that's it. Not easy.
But then I remember, when I see how big that man is, it's not happy I'm there. I remember how big my God is. And my God's a whole lot bigger than that man. And so I can step up all 175 pounds of Ronquin stomping alligator meat.
That's it, brother. Yes.
We're fully equipped. Just like Jesus was.
That's it.
You say, well, I could never. Jesus was God. No wonder he was involved that way. Yeah, but don't you remember? Oh, yeah. You weren't listening to the preaching? He set aside all that God's stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And lived on planet Earth as a human being like you and me.
Yes.
100% God. 100% man.
That's right. That's it.
But he was a man of faith. You look at Psalm 16.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. That's another psalm when Jesus spoke all through the psalm. He said, I'm putting my dependence on God.
Amen.
Did you know Jesus lived by faith?
Sure did.
Verse 23. Why did he do all this? Why did he confer upon us, the believer, the Holy Spirit of God?
Yes.
Was it so that we could be popular and well thought of? No. Verse 23, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
Yes.
And the purpose God has for giving us the Holy Spirit of God, the purpose for God giving us Himself is so that we can open our mouths by faith and let Jesus speak through our mouth the words that can lead to the remission of sins or the retaining of sins.
That's right.
It's all about Jesus gaining souls in the kingdom of God.
Yes, amen.
That's what missions is all about.
That's it, brother.
That's what it's all about.
Yes.
And God help the Christian who doesn't have a heart for the same thing God does.
Yes. God help us.
Our Father.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to rehearse this verse one more time before I asked Brother Murphy to come.
Yes.
And it would be this: as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Oh, dear God, today help me never to turn my back on that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're fully equipped by the Holy Spirit of God and by the indwelling Jesus to preach the gospel to the heathen round this world.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you for your provision. Thank you that we can never fail. Thank you for the verse that says he always causes us to triumph in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Without Christ, we can't win. With Christ, we cannot lose. Thank you, Lord, for your people. May we be strengthened today by the living Word of God. Well, thank you for all you do now. In that wonderful name of Jesus, amen and amen.